Hello, our favorite fried potatoes. I'm Serena.
And I'm Melissa.
And together, we're Curry Chips and Poutine. We're two friends separated by the Atlantic Ocean, answering the questions no one asks.
Enjoy!
Hello, our favorite fabulous fried potatoes. It's June, and that means it's Pride Month. Whether you're out there supporting your favorite queens or just keeping your cards close to your heart, we're here to celebrate you.
Just like potatoes, we all come in different sizes, colors, forms, and identities, and we're living for it.
Finding your people is special, magical even, and we want to kick off Pride by spreading the joy of magic.
Because let's face it, this podcast wouldn't work without it.
You got that right, Melissa. So when you think of magic, where does your mind go to?
Immediately and honestly, Dungeons and Dragons.
I kind of thought so. When we decided to do magic, I'm like, this is all going to be D&D from Melissa's side.
Look, I dialed the nerd back quite a bit for this. I hope you appreciate, because I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I am currently DMing for two games, actually. One's D&D, one's a different game. And the amount of tactical knowledge of how the magic works is just utterly nuts. Like, there's a lot to know and learn. Like, different schools of magic and whether you can cast this from like a distance and so don't worry about it.
I mean, I never did, so that's fine.
Fine, be that way.
I will. Because for me, magic, my mind always goes towards that film. I think, is it Now You Can See Me? Just the illusion quartet of people just doing really ridiculous things with like cards and throwing it to one another, and you know, guards can't find this one card. And yeah, I think to me, magic will always be kind of like, you know, rabbits out of a hat. And we got taught magic when we were teaching in Korea as well, just as like something fun to do with our students, and like how to seemingly pour water over our head when we have like a special solution in the cup that absorbs the water that you put into it. And yeah, just the reactions. I really like those small magic moments.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like to believe that it's more than it is.
Oh, for sure. And like my sisters and I, we love that sort of magic, like the stage magic. We've seen illusionist shows live and things like that, and they're super fun. And I remember one of the tricks they taught us in Korea, it was like you put a string through a straw and you like bend the straw in half and you cut it, but the string magically is still one piece.
Yeah.
And like, I'm gonna be honest here, I'm not very bright, so I see simple magic tricks and I'm like, but how?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember at university there was like a magic night as well, and they had someone come and do magic tricks, and it's always the ones that contain math. I'm just like, but how did they know what was my number? Like, what do you mean seven's a common number for everyone's favorite number?
Okay, at least with number stuff, there are actual answers. It's just that I'm terrible with math, so you could tell me anything, I'll be like, yes, sounds legit.
Yes, so. I trust you.
But yeah, like there's tips and tricks, and like some numbers sound fake, but they're actually like, yeah, this number is actually divisible by 17. Did you know that? I'm like, what? Why would you tell me this?
Yeah. We have trouble counting to, well, we were counting to six before, but now we only have to go to four, thank goodness.
Yeah, and sometimes we still mess that up, huh?
We have an order now.
It's magic all on our own. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of which, do you want to take us into question one?
Absolutely. Let's get this party started.
Whoop, whoop.
So, Serena, question number one. Would you rather cast magic by dancing, or would you rather get your magic by drinking potions?
Well, because of the music episode, we did have one where, you know, you could drink the music and feel funky. I definitely think I'll go with dancing, because I just think that's really funny. It's like, oh no, Serena, we need to get out of here. And I'm like, never fear, it's time to bust a move. And then, you know, I save the day. That sounds fantastic.
Oh my God. It's just so funny to me, because dancing to cast magic is like, there's all sorts of different dance. So like, I would imagine it'd be different dances for the different types of magic you're trying to do.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, the more kind of intricate magical spells, do I need to learn like ballroom dancing, for example?
Yes, absolutely. It's like you would learn how to river dance. Do like, I don't know, to set off fireworks or something.
Oh my gosh, how amazing.
Yeah, because I'm like, I feel like this kind of thing would be applied in that like your personal style of magic would be, that would be how like your dance style, like you know, your own personalized dance moves and stuff. That's your personal like magic. But if it's a spell that, you know, somebody else wants to teach you, it's like, all right, well, pull up a diagram and like, all right, foot goes here, here, and here. Now you can make a frog.
Yeah, and if my foot twists to the left instead of right, I'll bring about the end of days. That's fine.
Serena, your body body's a weapon. Be careful.
I can kill you with this toe.
Oh, I once killed a man with this thumb.
Yeah. No, that just sounds really funny. And then, like, when it comes to wielding magic, that's kind of the same for kind of any universe in terms of, like, you know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or just, mm-hmm. you know, D&D world. You do develop your own style of magic and how you use it. So yeah. just applying dance to that just makes it a more visual experience for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, instead of a magical girl transformation sequence, it's like a Serena, like, cutting a rug sequence because, oh, she's getting rid of fireball. Let's do it. Come on.
It'd be hard to, like, shoot cover magic, I suppose, because, you know, like, what's she doing? Get your head down. But I can't. I need the space.
The groove is too strong.
You threw off my groove.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's fun. I kind of figured you'd go for the dance one, but I just thought I'd ask the potion one just to spice things up a bit.
Yeah, the potion one, like, obviously that seems more practical.
Yes.
You know, you just keep your potions in your fridge by your your cans of music. But if I can take any moment to dance, I'll go with dancing.
Yeah, this is true, actually. You breaking into spontaneous dance while I break into spontaneous song. We are literally two halves of the same person.
We should do a musical.
Oh, musical episode. That should happen sometime in the future.
I don't actually like musicals.
Well, then I guess we have nothing else to talk about. Goodbye.
Can't be friends. Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, then it's me. I love musicals, but that's a whole other episode.
Maybe. What would you do?
Oh, man. I think I would... I don't have the coordination necessary to do the complex dance steps needed to not explode the world. So I think I'd have to go with the potions. I'll just keep it in my thermos, you know, keep it warm and toasty for when I need it.
Yeah, it's always important to have hot drinks, so, you know. That's good too.
Yeah, I'll just put it in your fridge with next to your music. I'll take something out and chug it. I'll be like, oh no, I thought this was my spell of melting the ice, and then I actually turned out it's a song. It's the song Break the Ice by Britney Spears. Oh no.
Same thing, really. I'm sure that could have the same desired effect.
I guess. I mean, to the tune of Britney, though, so I guess we can't complain.
No, she is our queen.
Oh, yes, Britney. Mwah.
Okay, for question number two. So I've gone down more of the classical route in terms of magic. So anytime you need a problem solved, mm-hmm. would you rather be able to reach for your magician's hat and pull out a vague object that could help you, or pull out something that's completely overpowered for the job?
Oh, there's no solution like overkill, huh?
Yeah. So the example that I had in my mind was, say you wanted to cut your grass, so you reach into your magician's hat and you pull out a rabbit, because in theory, it can cut your grass.
I mean...
Or you can reach in and pull out like a combine harvester instead.
Wow, it's like two different flavors of useless. I love it. I feel like probably that first option, so a vague object. So it's a roundabout way of solving the problem then, huh?
Yeah, a bit more creative thinking involved.
I kind of dig that. At least that way it'll keep my mind sharp instead of blasting everything to death with like tactical missile strike or something. Yeah. But geez, okay. Yeah, I'll go with the vague object. In a way, it's kind of like this podcast, isn't it? You're giving us a choice to make and then we have to kind of justify in a ridiculous roundabout way that somehow manages to convince people that we're right.
That is the art form of the podcast.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Because if I'm using a rabbit to cut my lawn, I guess it is the long game I'm playing, huh?
Well, you don't know how hungry the rabbit is, or if your rabbit just stays as one unit, or the second you turn back to it, there's five of them, so...
Oh, no. Or you pull a Monty Python, this rabbit's actually like a murderer.
Yep, but it will cut your grass.
Oh god, okay, no, let's do it. Let's just do that. I feel there's less risk to the people involved. Like the people around me, I think.
Yeah, you would have to consider collateral damage in a sense.
I'm just, oh my god, Serena, I'm laughing now because you're like, oh, I can't find my bread knife, and you whip out like, you know, a samurai sword or something. You're like, yeah,
problem solved.
I would consider that overkill, a little bit.
But it can do the job. I think I would join you in taking out like the vague object, like a kind of of like the idea of having to be like, well, how does this actually complete the job that I need it to do? Because yeah, you just don't want to reach in and be like, okay, I want to water my plants and now I have Niagara Falls coming out of my hat.
That'd be quite the spectacle. I would like to see that, but also I wouldn't, because that's a lot of water.
It is a lot of water, and I don't like wasting water.
Nope. I mean, it's a natural resource, I suppose, but it's a big boy.
But at the same time, you could also use the overkill option and only use that in special circumstances. So you could use it as a bargaining chip. Be like, don't mess with me. You don't know what I'll put out of this hat, because neither do I.
I mean, that's quite the gamble for you too, isn't it?
Yeah, please be a unicorn, and it just comes out as a rabid pack of wolves, and like, oh, well, I guess it is a distraction, and it is a magical animal. Sure, okay.
Wolves aren't magical animals unless you're pulling out a pack of werewolves, and they're just like a pack of dudes.
Magic.
Magic. I love it. I mean, the possibilities are so much with anything magical, right?
Yeah, and you can just justify anything by just being like, it's magic.
That's how you hand wave everything on this podcast. It's magic. Don't worry about it. Magic.
Yeah, exactly. No rules can keep us from achieving our dreams.
Although, you know, it's fun to think about the creative limits of magic, because like, if you have magic that can do anything with no rules whatsoever, it's really boring really fast. So I like how there's like rules involved about how to use magic. Like, you can only use magic to do this.
Yeah, you know, you do want to be able to have some things that you can do just as the normal part of you, but then use magic to back you up.
Yeah.
And I do also like, at least in some like video games, using magic and like upgrading the spell so that it becomes more powerful, or the spread of the spell is bigger or affects more people in its range, that kind of thing. I do enjoy that as well. So yeah.
Yeah. It's like back to Dungeons and Dragons. Like, they have the varying levels of spells that you can cast depending on how beefed up you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest level you can get up to is level 9, but you only get to cast one level 9 spell, because there's a spell infamous. It's called the Wish. There's basically not a lot you can't do with it, but you only get one shot, and there is a chance of failure. So, like, you know, having restrictions like that, I think, just makes magic a lot more interesting to me.
Yeah, there always has to be like an element of risk behind it. So that's why the dancing one is fun, because, you know, if I misstep, then, you know, oh, there's the risk.
Oh, gosh, that's fantastic. And speaking of useless, not-so-useless spells, I think it's perfectly to question number 3. So let's just say that having magic is a given in this situation.
All right.
So would you rather only be able to change things into pineapples, or would you rather only have the magic to give inanimate objects lovely singing voices?
I mean, I was thrown off by the pineapples. And now I'm thrown off by singing objects.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so are you kind of doing like a Beauty and the Beast play there?
That's what that one's a riff on. The first bit with the pineapple riff, it's from the Sabrina the Teenage Witch TV series from like the 2000s. In the very beginning, so Sabrina the Teenage Witch, right? She was having trouble controlling her powers, and that's all she could do. She was trying to cast like specific spells, but all she could do was turn stuff into pineapples. And it was so funny, because she accidentally turned her rival into a pineapple. She's like, what do I do?
How do I fix this?
Right?
So if I could only do the pineapple thing, is that just all I can do with my magic?
Yeah. You can try, you can study, you can see what you can do with other magic, but everything you do is just going to wind up to whatever it is turning into a pineapple.
But then on the other hand, I have singing objects.
Yeah, they sing, they dance, they clean your house.
Because I said that I don't like musicals, I feel that would completely turn my life into a musical. unless it's like my cutlery all starting to sing like Ultra Luminary when I'm having to do the dishes, for example.
That would make it fun.
That would make it very fun. But even though the pineapple thing might seem useless on the face of it, you could go to places that people don't get access to food and be like, pineapple for you, a pineapple for you. And you'd just be there giving everyone pineapples and sustaining them in some kind of way.
But what are you turning into pineapples to give them these pineapples?
I suppose you could do blades of grass.
That's true.
Fallen leaves. You could just turn them all into pineapples. Like, here you are. The start of a great fruit salad, everybody.
You know, I just thought of, they could change the world, make the world greener and also more yellow and fragrant.
I thought you meant just change planet Earth into a pineapple.
I was going on the route of changing garbage into pineapples. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Helpful.
That would be helpful. A part of me would be sad that, you know, I couldn't actually do anything else, but at least I could use my powers for good, so pineapple it is.
Like, you've got one spell, but my god, you're gonna make the most out of this one spell.
Yes, I'm a master of my craft.
I mean, I can't even eat pineapples. That just tears up my mouth, so I'm like, oh, this power would not do much for me.
Yeah, because pineapples have an enzyme?
Yes, it's an enzyme.
Dissolves you as you're eating it, so pineapple eats you.
Yep. I mean, I don't trust pineapple anyways, but like, yeah, the fact that just sounds, I'm like, well, it's out to get me anyway, so you know, it's fine.
There's actually a place in Scotland that's called the Pineapple House, and it actually has like a carved pineapple on top of this house, and it's where pineapples were first brought to Scotland, and it's like greenhouse, like off to the side where they would grow the pineapples. It's no one lives there now, but it's really nice. It has really nice grounds and things, and you can go for walks. But yeah, it's not too far away from my house, so I'm like, let's go to the pineapple, and you know, we go there for the day.
It sounds like the hot new meetup place for the youth. Let's meet up at the pineapple in 5 minutes. Okay. I'm just kind of laughing at that, though. I was like, why a place just to commemorate when you brought pineapples over? Was that momentous of an occasion, was it?
Well, I guess because Scotland is so cold, so then having something you can grow that needs a tropical climate, I guess, could be seen as, you know, a sign of wealth and power. Like, haha, I can do it, you can't.
Like my beautiful pineapples. I mean, you are right, because back in the day, pineapples were super rare and hard to get, so having one, it was like a show of wealth and a hospitality. So that's why you see pineapple motifs a lot for like some retro like decorations and things. The pineapple is a sign of generosity and hospitality. Okay. There's a store that sells like cooking implements, really fancy cooking gear and things like that. It's called Williams Sonoma, and their emblem is a pineapple because it's like, you know, it's like entertaining and being a gracious hostess and cooking things for your guests and things like that. So it's a pineapple.
And SpongeBob.
That's where he lives.
Yeah, no, that sounds good, actually. I mean, on the face of it, I would have preferred watermelons, but you know, I'll go with pineapples. That's fine. What would you do?
Oh, if it was watermelons, you know how happy I would be? Yeah. Watermelons all day, every day, so for good. Everyone.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would probably go with the musical things, but I don't know how quickly I would get tired of it.
As long as you make them sing different songs, right? It's not just one set of music that they do.
Oh, I just had a thought. I don't need to hook the speakers up to anything. I can just make the speakers do the singing.
That would be very useful.
I think that would. I mean, people are already listening to like inanimate objects sing anyways, so I guess that would be the next logical step.
Yeah, taking wireless to a whole new meaning.
Yes, absolutely. Once again, it's just kind of me thinking about making the mundane funny, so yeah. It amuses me at least.
I am amused.
All right.
Well, I'll take us away from the mundane and into more of the magic with a consequence realm. Ooh. So for question number 4, would you rather be able to heal anything but it takes from your own life force or be able to read minds but the more you do, the more it affects your mind?
Oh my god. Everyone talks about how they think mind reading would be such a cool ability, and I'm like, absolutely not. I don't want to know what some rando was thinking. It's terrible. I'm going to go with that first one. The healing from hit points, as they call it. Because it'd be interesting. So it's like, when you say it's taking away from my, life, you said?
Mm-hmm. Your life force.
Okay. So does that mean like if I healed someone had to scrape me and I heal it, does that mean I've lost a year of my life?
Not like year, more like energy. So scrapes and regenerating small cuts, you'd probably just feel a little bit tired. And then the bigger the healing job, the more energy it takes. But then if you wanted to do something really big, it would then start to take years off your life.
Okay, interesting.
You can heal without limitation, as in like, I want to heal the whole world, but it means it uses up all of my life force, right? But it saves the world. You could also do that as well.
I like that, because it's always such an interesting conundrum to me, because this does come up in like, you know, various media, but I just kind of like the idea of like, I could heal someone's broken bone and then like all of a sudden I'm out in a coma for like 3 days.
You just take a very long nap. I'm sleepy now.
I'll just sleep it off. I'm fine. I'll walk it off, champ. It's great. Interesting. Yeah, I think I would definitely go with that because the other one would be, what was it again? It was...
You'd be able to read minds, but the more you do it, it affects your mind.
No, no, thank you. Like, we have self-care sign-offs for a reason on this podcast, yeah. Folks. It's tough. Like, I guess it would be useful in some circumstances, but the effect it would have on you would be a lot, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but then you could play the long game. So, for example, when you know you're coming to, I don't know, the end of your life cycle, you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to go out with a bang. I'm going to, you know, use the rest of my life force to do a really big heal for everybody. Or as I'm getting later on into my life, cool, let's now read everybody's minds because I'm just at my time out anyway. So you can just use it however you want.
Yeah, I still think the healing, I don't want to say practical, but I feel like that is something I would probably want to do more. Because that probably would be something that's like, you can't fire me, I quit. I'm going to just like heal the world and go out in a bang.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Yeah, I would take the healing as well because, like you said, reading minds, unless I could do something with the information I can get from it, it doesn't really attract me to it. And then obviously you then can't do as much because your mind is also suffering from it. So I think the kind of consequence for that power is a bit imbalanced there. So I would rather take the healing and, you know, just do small heals and then do some really big heals and be like, yeah, okay, cool, I've done some good, you know?
Yeah, you gotta take care of yourself first, man. First and foremost, right?
That's true, yeah.
I think too, because they always have mind reading and things, and I'm like, it never seems as simple as just like going into someone's head and being like, they think about like, oh yeah, I'm gonna walk down the street now to buy some chips. Like, it's never that simple, right?
No, you don't know what you're entering into when you're going into someone else's mind. Like, you know, are they in the middle of just daydreaming or are they really playing out, like, you know, the worst outcome of a scenario that they're going through? Or, you know, you could be in someone's mind and they've got intrusive thoughts in there and you're like, oh, okay. But then I suppose at the same time, you could also use that for good. Like, oh, this person's really having a tough time of it. Let's reach out to them and be like, hey, are you okay? You could do it that way, but also be a bit of an invasion of privacy. So, I know all of your deepest, darkest secrets. Do you want some help?
I know what you were thinking the other day. There's a horror movie for you. I know what you did last night, or what you thought about doing last night and then didn't.
Yeah. But yeah, I would take the healing as well with you.
Yeah.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So for our lovely listeners, here's your bonus would you rather. So would you rather be magical in the world of Harry Potter or The Lord of the Rings? Let us know in the comments on our Instagram post, email us, send us your answer through the power of telekinesis. We'll get there.
I mean, there's that too, but I would definitely like a heads up if you were sending us mind messages because I don't want to be like, I'm not going to accept this, I don't know who it's from.
Yeah, send us an invitation to our mind first, like, can I give you this thought please? Yes, accept.
Do you know this user? No. Okay. All right, let's move on to our What Would You Do segment. All right, Serena, let me lay down the groundwork for you.
Okay.
So you've known ever since you were a kid that you weren't normal, trademark register. So it's not a surprise when you wake up one day and you have the power to control the four elements.
Ooh.
What is a surprise is that someone you've never met before appears to you and offers to help you hone your new powers so that you can bring peace to the world. What would you do?
I want to embrace my avatar life. Let's go. Oh my gosh, yes. I've always watched like Avatar The Last Airbender or Legend of Korra and be like, but what would be my original elemental control? Would it be water, earth, fire, or wind?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel a connection to all four. So it just makes sense that I'm the avatar. So
exactly.
I would see this as my calling and I would probably do a background check on this person first and then accept if everything was okay.
The background check. Well, with use of their own magic, I don't know if they'd, I don't know if they'd let you do that. Fred, I can't let you do that.
Would you kindly desist from looking into matters?
So that was quick. All right. So call it.
Heads.
Hooray, it's heads.
Woohoo! Hooray! I get to live out my Avatar dreams.
You do. So you get all sorts of epic training montages. You get all the character development and you master all of the elements one by one, starting with, which one would you want to start with?
I don't know. Did you not hear me say? I just don't know.
You're going to master all of them. Which one are you going to do first?
I know. Maybe fire. I do like fire.
Oh, I'm slightly worried now. How much do you like fire, Serena? Tell me.
I really like fire. I like that the evolutionary of fire is like lightning as well. I think that's really cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. And, you know, there are subsets of other things. Like earth means you can manipulate metal.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, that would be so handy. All right. So you're going to start with fire, your favorite element, and then moving on and on. And what's your least favorite? That's what you're going to finish with. The one you took the longest. You struggled with it.
Will probably be water. That would be the opposite
really?
Of fire.
Oh, well, if you want to be arbitrary, then okay.
But look, you said okay. There has to be rules. I want to follow the rules of the Avatar training.
All right. All right. You culminate with mastering water. Now you have all four of the elements in your hand. You didn't get there without a struggle. You had some ups and downs,
mm-hmm.
but you are now well equipped to save the world, and you do so in the most over-the-top fashion, the coolest, and it also has the greenest PSA. keep these four elements separate. Take care of each one. Keep the oceans clean. Save the planet.
I love it. Yes. Give it to me. It's all I've ever wanted.
Yep. Serena the Avatar. I'd watch that series.
Have you seen my hair? It's so cool.
Let's check this out. And you just like make a fireball spin around. Like,
Yeah, because like with firebending, you would also be able to accentuate your kicks and punches with fire. And so I could dance in a sense and still be able to do magic. So, you know, it all works together.
Just everything just has to be so flashy for you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Look, there's no point doing anything if you're not going to be seen.
I think I could argue to counter that.
And that's why we work together.
It's true.
You can do the stealth route. I'll be the distraction, okay?
It's true. That's why Serena is the berserker and I'm the healer. So, you know, it's fine.
Yep. Oh, but I love that. And I love that magic is also controlling the elements. And obviously you've got like Storm from X-Men as well. That's exactly what she does. And magic can be in any form and do most things. And it's great. And it's just not, you know, one universe that dictates how magic should be. So that's really fun. And I wasn't expecting an Avatar. What would you do?
Surprise!
Yay!
Well, you know, if you're going to break magic down to its base components, it would be like the earth and nature and stuff, right? So I'm like, well, it would make the logical step to go towards being the Avatar, mastering everything.
Yeah.
That'd be weird if you shaved your head and you got a forehead tattoo, though. Don't do that.
Do you not think I would look nice if I was bald?
You know, wow. I'd have to see it to believe it, Serena.
Next haircut, then.
Put your money where your mouth is. Shave your head. And speaking of magic, I mean, more magic. Let's move on to the most magical of self-care sign-offs.
Let's go.
Magic is real, all right? But it's definitely not what it looks like in the movies. The kind of magic we're capable of is definitely a lot less flashy, but no less impactful or cool.
Have you ever thought about those weirdly specific skills you might have? Maybe you have a sixth sense when it comes to how long your pasta's been boiling for. Or maybe you're uncannily good at picking songs to share with your friends.
Haven't you ever wondered about that? You may think of them as strange or even useless skills, but rest assured, they are not. That sure sounds like magic to me, my friends.
There's a bit of magic in all of us, and with your own personal brand, the world is a much brighter place.
No matter who you love or how you identify, there's only one you out there, and you are a wizard! Happy Pride! My dear Chips, if you'd like to support us even more than you have already just listening this far, there's a nice crisp compact link in our episode description waiting for you to click on it. There's merch, updates, and more. And as always, our email is currychipsandpoutine@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We love you and appreciate you very much. Stay delicious.
See you next time.
Bye.